Luke chapter 20. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Lord sure has been good to us today already. I have no complaints for you. And the reason being, I know he's still there. He'll still be there at all times. And thank God for that. As we look in Luke chapter 20, the theme of this chapter is that Jesus answers. And the key verse we'll read is verse 25. If you look down in that chapter, you'll see verse 25 is the key verse. And the Bible says there in verse 25, "And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things that are which be God's." And I'll go into that in the next few messages and deal with that exclusively about that. But we're going to look in these 47 verses, 954 words, all at a 4.4 grade level for Luke chapter 20. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. "And it came to pass that on one of those days, he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us by what authority doest thou these things, or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say, From heaven, he will say, Why then believe ye him not? But if we say, Of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now they asked him a question, and the question was, what authority does those things? You do realize who they're talking to here. They're talking to God manifest in the flesh. He's doing it by his Father's authority. And we know that because in Philippians chapter 2, he tells us over there that he said, Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He does things of his Father's authority, and he does that by example. That the only things we do by the Lord's authority and by his example he's given to us. Do y'all get that so far? I mean, that's pretty plain, right? But he asked them a question, the baptism of John. You and I weren't baptized with the baptism of John. That was a Jewish baptism to show they come to Christ. From the Jewish Old Testament religion that was given under Moses, that they've come to Christ, that the law is going to be fulfilled in this Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. And they come in and he tells them that, and he asked them a question, was the baptism of John from heaven or of men? Now that's a very confusing question, because the one way, if they answer it, then they've got to conceive he's Christ. But if they say that it's from men, watch this part here. These sweet talkers here wasn't going to say it was of men, because they liked John the Baptist, and that has stoned them for saying it. So what have you got here? A pseudo-political religious crowd running the temple. Remember the last chapter? In the last chapter, he ran out the crowd that sold and bought in the temple. And he got them for several things. Number one, they weren't supposed to be buying or selling in the temple, but they were making rules up as they went that nobody could carry a vessel through the temple. And they went through all them things and trying to make a big deal out of everything. But when it come down to it, they were in the wrong, and they're in the wrong here to question him like that. But as he answers them, I want you to notice back in verse number 1, "And it came to pass," watch this phrase right here, "that on one of those days..." I want to talk to you today about how to handle one of those days. You probably are sitting here now, and you probably familiar with the term one of those days. You might not know where it came from. It did come from your Bible. And we see one of those days, we see how to handle one of those days by watching the example of Jesus. You know, it's one of those days when you wake up on a cold day to find the heat don't work, or you wake up on a hot day and find out the air don't work. You know, it's one of those days when you get a cup of coffee, go to get a cup of coffee, and there's no coffee. You wake up on one of those days and you find out the water's froze and you forgot to start the dryer, and therefore your clothes are still wet and you got no water to wash them in. One of those days. For some, it means this. It means another day of drama. What can we stir up today, of course? Or they means another day of drama where they go write how depressed they are on Facebook to get attention. Why ain't y'all saying amen at that? I mean, that's a thing right there. I heard "oh me" a couple times. Or you are another day of drama, meaning it's one of those days and you write out how a person or situation makes you mad, so you want to get attention by writing about it. By the way, the same crowd that said they wasn't offended at that mockery of the Lord's Supper was offended by pancakes and butter just what a year ago. Priorities, people, priorities. Responsibilities. Get in with that thing. But I see that thing about one of those days, and that stood out to me about one of those days. And whatever he done on one of those days is how we'll handle one of those days. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. Number one way he continued on, with his day and how he conquered one of those days, the same way you can conquer as well. Number one, he continued in his ministry. It says that he taught the people. Jesus' job in his first coming, he come to preach with the anointing of God on him. He come to teach the people, and you find him a lot of times it says he taught the people. Thank God he still teaches his people, and thank God he's called some of us and some of you to teach his people. We got to get back to where we continue our ministry, whether it's teaching people, cutting grass, cleaning the church, whatever it was, whatever God's laid on our heart to do that thing. For some it's praying, for some it's going, for some it's staying, whatever it is. You need to get back to your ministry that God's assigned you to keep up with what's going on. I told you last Wednesday night about them sitting in the temple, and that was a no-no. There's only two seats in heaven right now, just two. That's the one the Father sits in, is the throne of heaven up there, and he that runs the universe gets set in that one. The other one is Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated there right now, and the reason he's there, he's making intercession for the saints. You may have to be of a picture of this, that you got to be on your knees, bent slightly over, and your hands like this to pray. Did you just catch where I said Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father praying? There's a lot of people that have tried to make this thing a big religious pose when they do it, but here's something. We bow down to pray for one reason. We're bowing down to the King. He's sitting on the throne. He's getting the job done no matter what you think. He's going to wind it up just like he says he winds it up. He's not worried about any political thing going on in heaven. He's not worried about any recession coming to America. He's got everything well under control. Our faith is solely in him. He's got it going on. He had one of those days. If you had one of those days, I've heard somebody say it like this. You're either having one of those days, just had one of those days, or fixing to have one of those days. But if we can find out how to handle one of those days, we'll know how to handle it right. Number one, he taught the people. He continued in his ministry, and you must continue in yours. You cannot lose the sight of heaven for what's going on earth around you. You cannot lose the purpose of why God has you on planet earth and lose sight of what's going on here. You gotta keep your eye on this and your eye on him and keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And continue with whatever God has you doing. Don't lose sight, don't lose faith, and just keep going. There's a lot of times we'll say, well, I've had enough, I'm quitting. It gets like that sometimes. You know what you do? You keep going. Amen. I've watched people that play in these sports where the sport lasts more than 10 minutes. Can you imagine being a marathon runner? I can't imagine running the length of this building. Much less a 400-yard race, or that Boston Marathon where you got to run over that whole city, or going down to Charleston and run over that bridge. I couldn't run over Broad River Bridge. And I think what endurance them people must have, but you know how they got like that? They trained for it. You and I, God may be putting us through one of those days to train us for the next one coming. It might be that how you handle one of those days will be a shining example to others on how to handle one of those days. He gave Jesus one of those days. You are no greater than them. Expect to have one of those days. I'm sure this wasn't the only time he had one of those days. And by the way, when you have one of those days, remember this. Your preacher is not above his own preaching. I got to live what I preach. That's a true story. You know what I preach on? I preach on tithing. I tithe. I put my tithing record out of you. You put your tithing record out of you. Everybody look at it. I didn't know their business. You God-robbing thief. You listen. It's just God's money. You just haven't given back 10% of it. Ain't that funny? But listen to this. I got up yesterday morning. It was my turn to cut the grass. You can ask Lisa. I was ready to roll at 6 o'clock in the morning. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Went and found me a cup of coffee so I'd be super energized to get this job going. Got out there. Four-wheeler was dead. And where I live at, you got to get the four-wheeler out to get to the lawnmower. It was dead. So I'd go back in the house and find that jump box. Go back out there and get that thing out of the way.
And then I realized that somebody, me, had turned the trailer the other way, so I had to hand turn that thing the other way so I could back up the truck to it and get it hooked up. Got it hooked up, the little switch on the back there didn't want to do right. I finally got it right. And I, Brother Steve, I knew something was up when I put that key in that lawnmower and cranked before I had to put the choke on. I knew I should have known right then something's up. That's going way too easy on this last end of the deal. I got that thing, it cranked right up, and I was like, man, I might even back it up on the trailer today. And then I flipped that little brake off and did this, and I was still sitting there. I thought, it's one of those days. See, I knew what I was preaching on this morning. God knew, but I had to live it yesterday. You got to live this stuff. You're going to have one of those days. I'll probably have another next 2 or 3 days. You know why? Because I'm getting the message here. And what you do is you continue on what you're doing. So what do you want to do? I want to go get back into bed. You know why? Nothing was going right. And as a joke towards the entire universe, my weed eater worked first crank. I thought, well, I might as well just check the weed eater. It's probably broke too. I thought, thanks. Thanks for letting me know you there, Lord. It's one of those days you got to continue on. You got to keep going. You can't throw quit out the window and keep going. That's the only time you litter and be right when you throw quit out the window. Say amen right there. And you got to continue on what God's got you doing. You can't quit now. We're too close. Second thing in that verse, it said he taught the people in the temple. And what's this thing here? He taught them where at? In the temple. Not only continue your ministry, but you continue your membership. Do you know how many people I meet in a week's time that I talk to them and say, where do you go to church at? You know what they tell me? I don't. That's right after they tell me they're saved, born again, grace of God, faith in Jesus Christ, but they don't go to church nowhere. I ask them, what happened? And I get the same answer. Let me tell you what it is. It's a lot of different words, but it all comes down to this. It was one of those days. It was one of those days. Something happened on one of those days, and the devil used that to get them out of the house of God. You have to be a Christian and go to church. Really? Well, according to the Bible, when you get saved, you are the church. How would you not be part of it? What happened to people? They had one of those days. They bombed out. They said, I'm not going back. And I had somebody tell me one time, they said, you know what the smoking gun is of that deal? I said, what is it? They don't ever go anywhere else. The devil got to you. He got you so worked up over something that you couldn't see past that, you know, you've done people wrong. You've done God wrong, but other people forgave you. God forgave you. That's how they need to forgive you. But you can't forgive people and go on. You can't reconcile yourself. You know what it is? You didn't continue on. You had one of those days and you dropped out. No doubt that every time I preach a funeral, I'm looking at a bunch of people who had one of those. If it's in Gaffney. Now, if it's in New York City, probably not. But in Gaffney, it's always going to be the same thing. They had one of those days and they got messed up and they got out of church. Something happened. Somebody got mad. Somebody corrected one of their children. Well, if they don't correct their own kids, I don't care. Shut your face and keep your own yard. Let them correct their children. Simple enough. Hey, you, be quiet over there. Anyway, I had to do it. I'm sorry. Okay. She took a rebuke well. But anyway, I see a lot of people that do this. They won't correct everybody's kids, but they don't correct their own kids. Correct your own children. Don't worry about everybody else's. He said, well, them kids act up. Let them act up. They're not your problem. I ain't just jumping on you. I'm trying to help you here. I know it's been one of them days. It's going to be one tomorrow, too. It might be one Tuesday. But I know this. When we get one of those days, when it comes to church children, expect the worst. That way, when they act right, you'll think the revival's happening. Right? Give that boy another lash across whatever over there. Anyway, I see people mess up all the time, and they get messed up in church. You know what somebody got mad at one time? They got mad over the fact we run out of coffee. This ain't Starbucks. This ain't, what's that other one they got, that other coffee place? McDonald's. This ain't McDonald's. This ain't none of them places. This ain't the coffee barn. This is church. If we run out of coffee, you will live.
You just better hope the bathroom's still running when you get here, amen. You better hope the toilet's still flush. That's what you better really pray for right there. Because without coffee, you won't be in a mess without that bathroom. You might be.
Yep.
But thank God you go to a country church, you can go out there somewhere.
Amen.
Don't act like you're so uppity. You live in Gaffney. You'll go out there. I know you will. Now listen to me. You got to continue in the membership. You got to keep going. Do you know, brother, you know what happened to me here? I don't know if I ever told you this, but 29 years ago, last month, we had 7 people in this church. They asked me to step outside and vote on me. They come back, so we have unanimously voted on you. That means everybody said yes to you being pastor. I was taught that if any Baptist church votes unanimously on something, be very careful about the next thing you do. Because there's no way you can get all the Baptists to agree on one thing. There's something wrong. So, well, ain't no Bible for that. All the other 11 guys thought Judas was a great guy. 100% of them did, okay? And I went to the back door shaking everybody's hands because I thought that's what the pastor was supposed to do after he preached. Hey, how are you doing today? And they're supposed to say, Reverend, that was a very good sermon today. We really appreciated it. And what did I preach on? Well, it was good, whatever it was, you know. And I spoke to this one lady going out the door, and I said, have a good night, or whatever it was I said to her. You know what she said to me? She looked me right in the face and said, you're fat. And I thought, how could she tell? And this is pre-TV commercial. I looked at my wife. I said, does this make me look fat? She said, just a little bit there. And I thought I've heard it all in church. And then I got down here to pastor, and I started hearing more. So what'd you do? I come back Sunday morning. So what'd you preach on? Thou shalt not call your preacher fat. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And then the craziest thing happened. I think it was a few months later. We had something in a business meeting, and somebody started saying something. Somebody over here said something. And all of a sudden, them 7 people had such unanimous harmony. All of a sudden, all of them was a 7-way split. I thought, well, I quit, too. I walked out the door and locked my keys. I ain't going back there, neither. I got about the end of the driveway. The Holy Ghost said, you know, Bill's locking key a bit tomorrow. I said, yeah, I know, Lord. So what's that? That's the locksmith that's going to come down here and unlock the church to get my keys back for me because I threw them in the door and locked the door like an idiot. So what was you having? One of those days!
All right.
I had to continue my membership. By the way, it didn't start here. Before I got baptized that, I wouldn't even call the name of the place. At least I don't call it. I don't want to give people a free advertisement because they then went reprobate and liberal. But we had a pastor up there that believed in the holiness of God and preached on it every service. And you talking about couldn't get a grunt out of nobody? You preach on the holiness of God, you don't get a grunt out of nobody because half of them don't even have the Lord. And we was up there, and there's a guy told me he was called to preach. This is what I said to him. I said, well, you need to get to preaching then. That man got so mad at me for saying that to him, and I didn't say it mean. I just said, well, you just need to get to preaching. That's all I said. He goes home and destroys, at that time, in 1994, it was a $3,000 worth of woodworking tools and his entire shop and busted up sheetrocking walls. He was that mad at me for saying to go get to preaching. I got called a Pharisee. I got called a church splitter. I got called a legalist. And I was like, for what? He said, because you told that man his business. I said, he come to me won't know what to do. That's different. If you ask me what kind of car I like, and I tell you, you can't get mad at me for stating what I like. I won't die for a brand of car, but I like certain ones better than other ones. In case you drive the thing I don't drive, I don't hate your car. It's just a preference. But when it comes to the work of the Lord, if you ask me a Bible question what to do, and I tell you, don't go destroying your garage, okay? Don't tear your tools up. But I thought to myself, why would people act like that? You know what the problem was? I figured it out about 10 years later. He's having one of those days. He's just having one of those days. It's so bad when people get like that, I don't understand them. My cousin told me there's a man lives near him. How you doing? And a guy stops and cusses him out. I said, do you know what happened to him? He said, well, I said, he had one of them days. He lost had one of them days, sound like. You might be having one of them days. I'm not going to the back door today just in case you are. I don't want to be called fat, Mary. I don't want to be called fat no more. I don't like when people call me fat. Unless they spell it P-H-A-T, baby. Woo! But listen, maybe that's what that lady meant by that. You reckon, Dean? I don't know. But I know this. I look at one of those days, I see Jesus continued his ministry, he continued his membership, but notice this, he preached the gospel in that verse. He continued his message. On your darkest day, when you're having one of those days, it might be the worst one of those days you ever had, keep giving out the gospel to people. Keep giving it out. We had one of those days the other day, and this poor lady come in the store we was at. We was going through it. We didn't say a word. And this lady, it was Wednesday night after church, and it was dark outside, and she said this. She said, how do I get back to whatever road it was? She said, I just come off I-85. I'm headed to Augusta, and I'm supposed to turn somewhere on 77. I think that's up near Charlotte, right? And the guy behind the counter said, well, you got to go back to Charlotte and get on 77 to go back to Columbia to get on 20 to go to Augusta. And I know it was none of my business. I know it was. I said, ma'am. She said, what? I said, stay on 95. Go to 26. 26 will take you right to 20 and go to Augusta. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. So how do you know that? Because I used to preach for Max Alderman on the other end of that road down the other end of 20 down there. And Chris Puglisi was down there. And you get down there and you get on this one highway and you drive exactly 100 miles. His place is on the left. I knew that road up one side down the other. I said, that's how you do it. And she looked right at me and said, you is an angel from God. I wouldn't quite go that far. But she was having one of those days. And that dude behind the counter didn't understand how maps work. She was fixing to go an hour out of her way to go miss a turn. I saved her about an hour and a half, I think. Said she call you fat? No, she hugged me. But she asked my wife's permission before she did. How old was that woman? 75, 80, something like that? She's an older lady. Listen to me. You might be an encouragement to somebody, and I gave her something. I gave her a gospel tract. I don't know. She said I was an angel from God. She's very confused. I'm not one of them, but I do know this. You give the gospel out to them anyway. Can I tell you how to be nice to people and get a gospel tract in their hand and then not even realize it? Ask them to pray for your preacher and hand them one of these tracts. They'll take it every time because they'll probably think I need prayer. I do. And I hope they go home and pray for me every day for the rest of their life. But probably they're going to read that tract too, and if they're not saved, God will put that seed in there and you keep preaching the gospel to them that way. You ever thought that last chapter where they told Jesus, they said, listen, you need to tell them people to be quiet over there, them disciples. And he said, if they got quiet, the rocks would cry out. I wonder if them gospel tracts, them rocks crying out where these preachers are shut up on everything. Just keep preaching the gospel. Keep listen. You continue the message, and Jesus continued his message. He taught the people. He taught them in the temple, and he preached the gospel. And what we do is we just keep on going, even when going don't seem like it's going to be able. There have been about three instances in my life where right before I got to preaching, all three of them on Wednesday night, I got devastating news right before I got to church. I come in one Wednesday, the first one, mad as a hornet when I got here. I wasn't having one of them days until I got that phone call. And it was some idiot on the other end of the phone talking some old stupid stuff. He said, don't you remember 30 years ago? Now, this is 20 years ago. He said, don't you remember 30 years ago when such happened? We were children. I said, I don't remember that. Oh, yeah, you do. I don't. I said, but will you forgive me for whatever it is? I don't remember it. I really don't remember it. And he got mad, threatening to whip me and all this other stuff. I finally told him, I said, well, you got it to do, big boy. You just come over and we'll start right now. He done got me mad. So I come in here and let y'all have it that night because I was mad. I had the back door. Brother John, they said, that's some good preaching tonight, preacher. I said, I know, right? And I thought, well, it can't get no worse than that. Don't ever say that because you have one of them days right after that one. A few Wednesdays later, I got another call. Devastating news. I come in here to resign the church that night. Devastating news. And the deacon said, you ain't going nowhere. You just having one of those days. It's okay. I'm just having one of them days then. You get that way sometimes. I know. Listen, my job wasn't to come in to quit. My job was to come in to preach. So what did you preach on? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's still the message. We still give out gospel tracts, even when we're having one of those days. You ever get frustrated at a gas station? Sure, you do. You pull up. Here's some idiot up there running his radio too loud. You can't even hear yourself think. Here's somebody over here saying, this thing ain't working. They won't flip the little button. I mean, there's always something going on. Start leaving your gospel tract on one of them things. Put it right in that handle where they got to see it and got to get it. Don't put 10 of them. Just put one. When you hand money to somebody, give a tract. Let them have the gospel message. Why? It'll change their life. I've heard you say that. That don't work. It works. It works. There was a time, listen, when I owned one coat, one tie, one dress shirt, one pair of pants, and one pair of dress shoes. All I had. And I bought them so we could have a picture took. I wasn't planning on preaching. I wasn't planning on getting saved, but I got saved. God called me to preach. And Brother Ellis called me over to Clover, so why don't you come preach for me? I went preach for him on the Sunday before Thanksgiving of 1994. First time I preached in a church. I preached down at Limestone College, some other places. People had me at, but the first real church service I preached was down there. Went down there and preached, and my mama said, I'm going to take you to buy you a suit this Friday. This is before they called it Black Friday. It was just the day after Thanksgiving, said, before they realized they could call it that and make all kinds of money. Everything was in black and white, so you had to do it that way. So went up there, and we ate at Shoney's that morning at this right there in front of Gastonia Mall up there. There's one up there somewhere where we went at. And we was going in JCPenney a little bit later, so we was at the Shoney's at Gastonia. I laid a gospel tract out there on the newspaper stand out there, the Gastonia Gazette. And it was one of them picture tracts with little booklet tracts, some chick tracts. And it was about rock and roll music, about Christian rock and roll, how that thing was of the devil, and you need to get saved. You need to praise Jesus on string instruments and organs, not on screeching buzz saws. Amen. I'll never forget that tract. I left it there. About 3 months later, I was at Bible college. On the first day of Bible college, they have you get up and tell your testimony in chapel. That's the first service you go to. And then 3 months later, another new class come in. And they come in April. And the first week of April, on that first chapel day, there's a boy got up and said that he picked up a gospel tract in Gastonia, North Carolina, the day after Thanksgiving. Don't tell me it don't work. I'll give you a better one than that. You ever heard of Pilgrim's Progress? He got saved reading the gospel tract in jail. 300 or 400 years ago. God will use it. But I was having one of those days. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. I see people all the time wanting to give up and quit, especially preachers. They give him down the road. Some deacons meet and go sideways. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to quit. Don't quit. Just keep on plowing through. You know why? One of those days will be over for long. And listen to this. Either by rapture or rupture, we'll be in heaven one day. One of them days will be over forever. It'll be worth every mile. I got a question for you. How do you handle one of those days? It's simple. You just keep going. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.